across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Happy Easter and welcome to a special chocolatey edition of Flavour. Our thanks to Tony Barnfield for the last programme. I am Matt Bentman.
And I'm Alan Alder. And today, along with all that chocolate, we also have an exclusive interview with Heidi White, the director of food and drink festival Eat Cambridge. Heidi will be giving us a lot of information about the fringe events coming up this year.
And Grace Campling, the newest member of our team, has been out and about unearthing the best chocolate that Cambridge has to offer. So we'll be having short chocolatey breaks throughout the programme.
And we visit the Plough in Shepreth to find out about its emergence from a closed-down derelict pub to a village hub after many years of closure.
And of course, we'll be rounding off the show with our usual food and drink news for the city. But first, let's go to Culinaris in Mill Road, where Grace spoke with Sam Ryan about the chocolate that they have in store.
Hey, I'm Sam. I work at Culinaris on 88 Mill Road, and today I'm going to be talking about our chocolate table. It's the first thing you see when you come into the shop here, so it makes quite an impression on most people who visit our shop. We pride ourselves on our variety in the shop, particularly in chocolate, but also in other departments. The interest for me following working here is in single origin and bean to bar chocolate, which means beans from one particular area of the world that are brought to the UK or wherever they're being processed green. They're roasted and then processed into a bar. And it's a real exposition of each producer's idea when it comes to the way they want to produce their chocolate. A few bars that we are really proud of in the shop come from our unique juicer called Roja Burli, produces chocolate in Hungary and Budapest, and she has done for quite a few years now. She makes a really fantastic range of single origin stuff. She also has some really great flavoured styles, which are really popular in the shop. She also used to be a designer, so her packaging is really attractive and it always catches people's eyes. In terms of new products we've got in the shop, we have a few kind of very young chocolate producers around. One of them is Lithuanian from a company called Naive. He has a very similar approach to chocolate that my mentality about interesting markets for very specific artisanal products is, and that's a fantastic thing to be able to sell in the shop. He's a bit crazy, but he's a really, really great producer. We also have some new stock from a company called Pump Street, who have a bakery in Orford that's doing very well, best Eccles cake in the UK, I reckon. But their beans are actually roasted in their bread ovens, and then they produce their chocolate in an independent shop at the moment. They're making big waves in the chocolate scene at the moment, and some of their kind of bread style bars are very popular. So they make one with some sourdough and some rye and all that kind of thing, and they go down very well. So if you're looking for flavoured chocolate or unflavoured chocolate, all the way from white to dark through different styles of milk, come along and see what you can find.
That was Sam from Culinaris on Mill Road there.
Yeah, some very nice sounding chocolates as well. Have you got a favourite style, Matt? Milk or dark or what?
I always flip between the two, actually. I do appreciate a little bit of Bourneville. And one thing that's always stayed in my mind is the difference between British chocolate, American chocolate and European chocolate.
Yes.
And I definitely favour the European chocolate.
Yes.
It's got a much smoother, more kind of velvety texture.
Yeah.
Whereas the American chocolate can be very harsh. I think if you've grown up on that, then it's fine. It's perhaps what you're used to.
Yeah, it's made in a different way. I think a lot of English people or British people don't like American chocolate.
Yeah, I was surprised just how different that taste is, the harshness. I keep saying harsh, don't I? Anyway, it's not just chocolate that's in the foodie mind today. The Eat Cambridge Festival programme has just been released, so there will be lots of Cambridge folk scouring it and booking up. If you've not seen it yet, here's the first part of Heidi White talking to Alan about what's going on.
Heidi, we've got the Eat Cambridge brochure in front of us at last.
We have, finally.
This is going to be quite a hard talk, isn't it? Because there's so much to talk about and so much to gush about,
yes.
Isn't
there? Well, I like to think so. I don't want to be big-headed about it, obviously. And it's all credit to the amazing Fringe event hosts and stall holders who have got involved. But yeah, it's a pretty big and thorough programme for this year, I would say.
This is a fantastic programme. And if we just sort of break it down into themes, it's all about food and drink, obviously, but one of the themes that I picked out, there's quite a lot about the match of, say, wine and food, or beer and food.
Yeah,
and
it's
that
a
seems
big
to be
theme.
Growing, doesn't
yeah,
it, really?
Yeah.
That awareness of the importance of getting the combination right.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a big theme for the whole time Eat Cambridge has been running, I would say. But it's so popular at the moment, as people are even more into this higher quality drinks market. There's also some really great places to go out and drink in Cambridge, to try different types of beer or wine. So at the festival, lots of people had the idea of hosting food and wine matching events that brings two things together.
Yeah.
And it will help people obviously enjoy those combinations on the night, but also some of them will be teaching about how to match food and wine at home as well.
Yeah.
With your own cooking. So it should appeal to lots of foodies, I would say.
Well, let's just pick out some of them. There's a wine and cheese matching, and that's with Susanna Watson from Home Clothes.
Yeah, yes, she selects absolutely amazing, more produced farmhouse cheeses.
And Cambridge Cookery School and Bistro is having a night of Adriatic wine tasting.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So they do some really, really good wine tasting evenings. This one is actually on Friday, the 18th of May, so it's right at the start of the festival when everyone's palates are still fresh, I'm hoping. And the bistro that they have at Cambridge Cookery School is a gorgeous setting for the evening. And they actually have a wine bar in there, a wine bar set up in there. So they'll run a tasting, but they'll also prepare food in their kitchens there to match the wines and some nibbles to go alongside.
Yes, and they really do know their foods as well.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Their foods are
definitely
extraordinarily good. Maurizio in Mill Road is having a tasting of two Italian wines, Prosecco and Franciacorta.
Yeah, battle of the fizzes.
Yeah, and he's doing food that goes with those
yeah,
as well, so that would be a nice tasting event.
Yeah, Maurizio prepares kind of dishes of the day and small nibbles, aperitivo, in-house there. So he'll be doing some talks through trying the different glasses of fizz with some little nibbles to go alongside. So you'll be transported to a summer's evening in Italy.
There's also matching drinks with spicy foods as well. That's Culinaris, I think.
Yeah, Culinaris had a really good idea of thinking of different ingredients that their customers often ask about or struggle with. And then they've paired up with some drinks shops to do some tastings. So the spicy food one is actually matching with wine, which is a tricky one. Most people go for beer normally.
Yes.
So they'll have an array of wines that will match.
Right, and going rather upmarket, Clare College,
yeah,
whose catering is legendary,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
They're having a food and wine matching evening as
so
well.
So this is with the Cambridge Wine Academy. Steve Hovington is the owner of that wine school, and he is known for his wine and food matching classes, but he's taking it one step further than just a tutorial, and it will be over a very long leisurely lunch at Clare, where the chefs will have been preparing dishes to match Steve's chosen wines that he wants to present, and it will be in the beautiful surroundings of Clare College itself, in one of the halls. So yeah, that's definitely one to get booked into early, I would say, as places will be limited for
right.
that. It's quite intimate.
Well, I think a lot of these events, the places are going to be limited, and they're going to be very much sought after.
Yeah,
think,
yeah, a
well.
Lot of the venues are small and quirky, which obviously adds to the appeal, but there will be limited space. Yeah, I'd recommend having a look in the brochure, picking the dates. There's a handy planner, actually, in the centre pages of the brochure, so you can pick the dates that you want and then follow the links to the hosts' websites directly to book tickets.
So many good things. That's the first of four Eat Cambridge features we have for you today. And if you're wondering what the noise in the background was, we did the interview at Food Park in West Cambridge and it was pouring down. So it's the very familiar sound of raindrops. But I must say, some of the events that are coming up are fantastic, and certainly one has sold out. More details about that shortly.
Okay, so let's carry on with the chocolate theme. And after visiting Culinaris, Grace headed down Mill Road and stopped off for a quick chat with Joe at Arjuna.
Hi, I'm Joe from Arjuna Whole Foods on Mill Road. We do a lot of vegan chocolates and raw chocolates in our range. One that is really popular is Ombar, which is made just outside Cambridge in Sawston. It's probably the best chocolate I've ever tasted. Very milky, even though it's got no milk. It's made with coconut cream and desiccated coconut ground down really fine. For Easter, we've got a special range of vegan Easter eggs, including Buja Buja Easter eggs, which come in wooden, hand-painted egg casks filled with vegan chocolate truffles, as well as things by Montezuma and Divine dark chocolate eggs or crystallised dark chocolate eggs.
Have they been popular?
Been pretty popular. I mean, Ombar is consistently popular, but people know that we're, you know, specialist vegetarian and organic, and a certain specialism for raw as well, so people come far and wide, especially for our chocolate at Easter time.
Many thanks to Joe. That was Arjuna Whole Foods in Mill Road. And there's our music again, which signals that it's time for the latest food tweets from the city.
The Plough at Coton has tweeted this morning saying that the Easter Monday car fest has been postponed because of the weather. Cambridge Blue is saying that it's got a cracking ale lineup for Easter, including Egyptian Cream Stout from, rather surprisingly, Nene Valley Brewery, and also the Moonshine Brewery's Cambridge Best Bitter and Cambridge Red. The British Library near King's Cross, if you're headed that way at all in the next few weeks, is having a food season. That's about to start, and you can check it out on the British Library website. It includes, next Saturday, Claudia Roden and Sumaya Usmain talking with Tim Haywood, and a tweet from George's Bakery saying that George is not going to make any markets at all this weekend because of the weather.
Oh, dear. So, back now to Eat Cambridge and Heidi White. Still in the rain, this time on a subject close to my heart, cheese.
Cheese plays a big part in this year's Eat Cambridge Festival as well.
Yeah, it does seem to. Again, Susanna from Hum Closen has been busy working away, coming up with some collaborative events, this time with Calverley's Brewery off Mill Road. So she'll be running some cheese tastings there where they'll match with beers, and it will actually be with Calverley's own beers that they brew there on site, so that's really nice. And then we've actually got a cheese supper, a tasting menu made entirely from cheese, which is being created and put on by Giovanna Ryan, who is a MasterChef contestant from this year. She also has a local link, being Sam Ryan's sister, and Sam is from Culinaris, he's also been busy putting lots of events together. So Culinaris will be providing these amazing array of cheeses, and Giovanna's menu will be 5 courses, all involving cheese, and it will take place at Novi. It's actually on the 27th of May as well, a Sunday, and it's the bank holiday the next day. So it's a nice extra evening that we found for people to go out and enjoy these kind of things. It's the first time she's done something for Eat Cambridge, and it sounds amazing, celebrating, you know, such a small ingredient as cheese, but showing really what you can do with it to create masterpieces, really.
Well, Culinaris does have some very nice cheeses,
yeah,
actually.
And really
what I like about going in there is they know so much about them.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah, you've got to have that passion to be surrounded by all that food, I think. And then we've got some other cheese expert coming to Newnham Bakery to do a talk. It's the Percivals, a married couple. They wrote a book a while back which explores cheese production and reveals really what goes on in with the big producers and how cheese used to be on a small, non-industrial scale. They're celebrating cheese in this book as well and helping people really get to grips with how it's made right from the start, keeping the link between producer and consumer really short. And at that event, there'll be cheese and wine and the opportunity to buy the book, signed, of course, by the authors. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
There certainly is.
Well, that was nice, actually. She mentioned Giovanna Ryan at Novi, the former MasterChef, and I think that's a good opportunity for us to just quickly plug, once again, the Flavour podcast service, because we featured Giovanna last September. So you can always listen back to our past episodes and our various features if you go via the Cambridge 105 website or via iTunes or any other app that you use to get your programmes.
And here's news of free food available now in Cambridge, which you can find on the Olio app.
Yes, Pret-a-Manger, they're donating surplus food to Olio whenever they can't find a charity to collect on that specific day and time. So what they're looking for, food waste heroes, volunteers who can collect and distribute to our community via the Olio app. The Cambridge collection happens at the Station Square, that's near to the train station. You can find out full details via Olio, as well as everything that people have and they're giving around locally. So, on to our next feature.
So I'm Jackie Sutton-Adam from the Cambridge Cheese Company, and we have a nice little selection of Easter chocolates. The main range that we cover is one by Pralus. So Pralus is a chocolate house, and they specialise in chocolates that come from particular areas of the world and particular kinds of cocoa. So when you taste them side by side, you can really start to appreciate the differences between the earthy, rich, kind of like fuller flavours of South American chocolate compared with the lighter, fruitier styles of Africa and Southeast Asia. So that's a great range for chocolate lovers. We also have some beautiful Spanish chocolate with really fantastic nuts in them, so hazelnuts or almonds. And the beauty of this is that 70% cocoa chocolate with really high quality grade nuts means that you get a snap from the chocolate and a snap from the nuts as well. So it's, you know, it's a real flavour explosion in the mouth. And they come in good sized bars and super large bars.
Oh, wow.
I think these are 750 grams.
Yeah, that's a brick, isn't it?
Yeah, it is absolutely a brick. And the best part of buying brick chocolate is that it counts as cooking chocolate, therefore it's ex fat. So you get more bang for your buck, basically, with big bars.
Right.
So, and our final chocolate range is drinking chocolate, because we are not yet out of drinking chocolate season, because it has been cold. And we've got this beautiful range in really beautiful packaged little tins from a company in Edinburgh called The Chocolate Tree. We've been selling chocolate for, I don't know, pretty much since we opened. I've just realised there's another range I should really tell you about. So this is Monaco, which is a fair trade Madagascan chocolate. And the lovely thing about this is that it's truly fair trade. It's made by farmers, packaged and cooperatively sold. So the people who grow actually get a really good slab of the money that in the trading and profits and stuff. And they do some lovely flavours, beautifully illustrated with lovely little people. They're just so pretty. They're flavoured, interestingly flavoured. So we've got like bird chilli, the ubiquitous sea salt and chocolate. Everybody does that one, but it's very kind.
Orange and cranberries, that sounds great.
That's lovely. And that's a staff favourite at the moment. And the combava and pink pepper has a lovely sort of like a spicy edge to it. It's not overpowering. It's very, very well balanced. And they are, they're kind of perennial favourite of ours as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And I'm sure people will enjoy your lovely chocolate.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots more to chocolate than just Cadbury's and Nestle. That was Jackie Sutton-Adam at the Cambridge Cheese Company in Market Passage.
Another big theme at the Eat Cambridge Food and Drink Festival is supper clubs and pop-ups. Here's Heidi White with the info.
One really, really exciting one, which I know will be a big hit with brunch fans, is the news that Afternoon Teas has teamed up with Pint Shop to put on a really special brunch on the day of the Eat Cambridge Festival in the city centre, so Saturday the 19th of May. There'll be three sittings, so we can hopefully fit lots of people in on the Saturday morning. It will include some really exciting Afternoon Teas classics, some new brunch dishes, a brunch scotch egg, and bottomless tea and coffee. And I'm sure some pretty amazing Bloody Marys, if we're lucky. I think those places are going to go really, really quickly. And then there's lots and lots of evening suppers, which are really, really exciting. Flock Cafe at Burwash Manor does some really, really great suppers, and they're doing a special Cambridgeshire supper club, which will include plenty of local ingredients, some which are literally on their doorstep, pork from the farm at Burwash, and some amazing vegetables and salads and herbs that they source from Dynamic Organics, which is, again, very local to them. They dress the cafe. I don't know if you've been in the daytime. It's quite brunchy and, you know, light and airy, but in the evenings they dress it beautifully for a supper with twinkly lights, candles, lights off, and you are really getting out there with nature on a farm, so it's a really lovely way to perhaps get out of the city for the evening. There's other supper clubs as well going on in the city, like Alimentum's Supper Club, which will be on Sunday the 3rd of June. Guests are sitting communally and it's very relaxed, and you can discuss the dishes and you are asked to critique and give feedback back to the chef, Mark Poynton.
And there's Rosie Sykes and Rachel Roddy.
What's a pair? So Rachel Roddy is a really fantastic food writer and friend of Rose's. Rose's obviously a local chef and food writer here. Rachel currently lives in Italy, so she's popping over to pair up with Rosie, and they're doing an opening dinner for us on Friday the 18th of May. And it's in support of their chosen charity, Winter Comfort, for the homeless. It's taking place actually in the refectory at Winter Comfort. They will be cooking up a seasonal supper, which will be, I'm sure, relaxed, good fun, as always.
There's an Italian feel to it, I would have thought.
We'll see. I'd like to think that it will be a preview for their talk, which they're doing the next day at the main event on the 19th of May, which touches upon basically their shopping basket at that time of year, so spring, early summer, and what each of them like to buy from their respective markets in their corners of the world, in England and in Italy, and then what they like to cook at home using those. So it'll be a really nice insight into the kind of food that they love to cook and the kind of food that you find in their recipe books.
And Rosie Sykes is involved in the food waste one as well, with Tristan Welch and Alex Rushmer.
Yeah, quite a lineup of celebrity chefs we've got there to highlight a really important issue.
We've got some good people in Cambridge.
We're very grateful. Cambridge Sustainable Food had the excellent idea of doing a Ready Steady Cook style food waste event. So the three chefs, Alex Rushmer, Tristan Welch and then Rosie, will cook from ingredients that would have otherwise gone to waste. And I've been told that the guests are lucky enough to have canapés prepared by Food Cycle on the day, which is quite a treat for them, because I now hear that Food Cycle cater weddings and all sorts
using
food that would have otherwise gone to waste. So it's a really exciting event.
Right. And Keiriko Tapas is putting on something with cocktails.
Yeah, there's a few of the suppers and pop-ups which are collaborative, which is really exciting. And Keiriko Tapas has teamed up with Cambridge Wine Merchants at the Cherry Hinton Road branch, and they're doing tapas with cocktails. She'll also be at the main event this time on the 19th of May, so people can actually taste what she can provide. So this one will be a really special one-off where people get to taste quite a few different versions of her dishes with really premium cocktails mixed fresh there, with a bit of a masterclass as well about how to make them.
Right. And on the subject of cocktails, at Jack's Gelato is having a cocktail night.
A little party, a little cocktail party in a gelato parlour, why not? There's a really lovely pop-up bar called Gimlet Bar. I first met them at Rose's book launch for the Sunday night suppers a few months ago, and they have made this bar, which is beautiful. It pops up, serves the most amazing cocktails using seasonal elements, so they make their own shrubs and cordials and mixes and things using foraged plants or herbs, and mix them with just spot-on combinations of really good spirits. I would say they do really good mocktails as well, so they can do virgin cocktails using these lovely seasonal flavors and fruity flavors. And Rosie will be preparing some little nibbles with them alongside them. They have an excellent bar snack menu, so they'll be cocktails, just pay as you go, so no menu. You just pop in, have cocktails, have some nibbles from the bar snacks menu, finish with gelato, stumble out into that the summer's evening.
Wonderful.
Yep. See you there.
Yes. And on the other side of town, La Latina Bustamante.
Yeah, we've got a really, really exciting event with these guys who have a pop-up restaurant on a bus by the retail park. For Eat Cambridge, they're doing a more formal sit-down supper club where they'll serve many different courses, all focused on the green plantain, which they use in their tostones. And they'll give a talk about their heritage back in South America and how the plantain came to be used in this kind of food.
Yes, you don't see a lot of green plantain in Cambridge.
No, and it's fantastic what they do with it.
Well, it is a very nice vegetable.
Yeah.
Or fruit, I suppose, really.
So they will be taking a whole evening out, basically, to close the restaurant, have people in, so people have to book in advance. They'll serve these courses and then talk about their love for it. And the couple behind La Latina have got such passion for it. It will just be fantastic to hear them talk of it.
A reminder that booking for all these events has now started. Details are in the Eat Cambridge programme, available from independent food and drink stores, and also at the Eat Cambridge website. And Heidi will be back after another chocolate break with news of cookery classes and demonstrations. But before then, what's particularly grabbing you at this year's Eat Cambridge, Alan?
Oh, right. Well, quite a lot, actually. But perhaps first we should say that Heidi's tweeted this morning to say that the afternoon tea's brunch, and remember she's doing three sittings, and they've all sold out.
Oh, excellent.
So Joe Krajinska's cooking has such a following. She ought to open a cafe. The things that gripe me, well, I'd be really interested in the talk that Rachel Roddy and Rosie Sykes are doing. Rachel Roddy writes in Saturday's Guardian, Feast magazine, Tales from an Italian Kitchen. And her writing is just wonderful, just evocative of Italy and good food. And I imagine that her talk will be similar. So, that's great. The Gimlet's Bar sounds wonderful.
Mm.
I'd recommend the food waste one where Rosie Sykes and Tristan Welch and Alex Rushmer are cooking, because having been to the one that those last two chefs did a couple of weeks ago, it was just superb food, absolutely superb. And I'd be very interested in going to the cheese one that the Percivals are doing based on their book. Yeah, so lots.
Mm. And this is probably quite simplistic of me to say, but I really like listening to that feature with you and Heidi, because it just really underlines the network and the community that we have here in the whole Cambridge food scene. I know that's perhaps not a good word to say, but that's what it is. And that's what we strive to do every fortnight on Flavour, and that's what is encapsulated in that feature. It's just, I like it. It's wonderful to hear. Anyway, you are listening to Flavour, the food and drink programme on Cambridge 105 Radio. Now, last August, the Dolcito Patisserie opened on Hills Road. It offers unique chocolatieri products, and their plan was to give the business half a year and see how they'd fare. Well, the good news is they are still there, and this week I caught up with owners Andrew Hunter and his partner Joanna Hyduk to check out their seasonal offerings. So here we are at Easter time.
Mm-hmm.
This would be your first Easter, won't it, for Dolcito on Hills Road? So we're here to talk about some things specially made for Easter.
Yeah, we've got milk chocolate, dark chocolate and white chocolate eggs. But we've also got some chickens that have been made from eggs. So the chicken's combs, a small egg's beak and its feet. So it all comes together in that way.
Yeah, this is one of our Easter products. And then we have one of our main desserts, like an Easter bunny.
They're filled with rum, so it's controversial when the kids come in and they're pointing at it, wanting it.
Well, the rum is cooked out, so just a little flavour of the rum is left in desserts. Not really alcoholic anymore,
in a way.
It's a little treat for parents.
That's an interesting touch. Was that your idea?
Yeah, it was something we wanted to make, like a pina colada style bunny.
Yeah.
That could be white, so the coconut would hang with that flavour.
Yeah, we've called that dessert Drunken Bunny. And also, Andrew all the time is creating new shelf life products, such as honeycomb, biscuits, caramels, and dragas. We appreciate our customers who keep coming back. Andrew is creating new flavors, combinations for the chocolates, macarons, and desserts.
Yeah, my dream would be me have a few staff, young people that I can train.
From yeah, I remember you saying that.
There's lots of people interested.
I'd be really happy with that.
There's so many people who want to learn. There's not many good pastry chocolatiers, because Andrew's chocolatier as well as pastry chef.
Yes.
All the colleges, they're not employing pastry chefs anymore, they're just buying in sweets, like frozen. So the sort of quality's diminishing all the time.
So even those guys are cutting
costs. Yeah, they are. It's expensive what they're buying, rather than just training staff and...
But like you said, chocolatier is another major skill. It's a bit like...
Yeah, I think chocolate is the hardest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the most difficult.
Chocolate world is there.
Does that mean it's very much 24/7 in your head?
At the moment, yeah. We're doing all the finances, the advertising, you know, the whole story's taking place. We're always thinking, how can we stop people going to cost anymore? And how, you know...
Yeah.
And it's constant. It never stops. How can we get out of those guys? Yeah. A lot of the bigger companies, they've all got the capital in the bank. So whereas we sort of have to keep accumulating little bits... until we move on to the next sort of part of the business, until we can staff, until we can, you know, advertise more. Until, so it's all slow process.
Yeah, in terms of advertising, Andy's couple of his recipes is going to be in a Cambridge Cookery book coming out in the beginning of summer. There will be Midsummer House in Art Edition as well, and a few other bigger places from Cambridge, so...
You're going to give it 6 months. That was August last year. How's it been since then?
Picking up every day, which is good for us. Products are getting more. We're starting to build, doing some May balls, and hopefully take some staff on, and then we can start growing the products a bit more. And
so it's definitely getting busy enough to take on staff. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's getting busier, But, you know, with the new staff hopefully coming in later, that will give us a bit more breathing space to do other things and start promoting what we're doing a bit better.
Just to reiterate, this is Dolcitos.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Joanna.
And we are part of Dolcedo Patisserie on 60 Hills Road. Come in and get your Easter treats.
And they'll be open across the Easter holiday period, so do check out their other products too. Lots of very delicately designed, intricately styled chocolates, which I was able to actually carry home on a bike. I thought it would be a mess by the time I arrived home, but... It's a testament to Andrew. He does make some solidly designed chocolates. Also, one of their big sellers at the moment, they tell me, is bags of chocolate-covered honeycomb. That's an oldie but a goodie, and it made me wonder, what are the sweets that are perennial? You know, they never go out of fashion. What sticks in your mind? When Andrew said that to me, my immediate thought was peanut brittle. Do you have anything like that, Alan?
I don't really eat sweets, so I'm not really sure what's still around. But when I was young, I used to really like pear drops.
Pear drops
and wine gums.
Now, our final look for today of what's coming up in May's Eat Cambridge Festival.
The other sort of theme, really, is demos and classes, making bread.
Cambridge Cookery School have their really famous sourdough bread workshop, and they do it at a special price for Eat Cambridge, so that one is going to be snapped up fast, I would say.
And there's another bakery as well, the Biscotti Bakery, which is doing a demonstration, I think.
Biscotti di Deborah, the lady Deborah who's behind this, the baker, she does amazing Italian celebration cakes and patisserie, and she hasn't invited people to her premises before, so she had the idea of having an open day at the bakery. It's just outside Cambridge, so people can come and see what happens there, how she prepares all of these cake orders that she does. She obviously still does it herself all by hand. And then there'll be a portion of the day which will be dedicated to demos, when she'll show people how to make some of the cakes that she does. You'll have to book the demos, but the open day, you can just register your interest by contacting her through the details in the brochure, and then pop along and have a nosy around, which everyone likes to do, surely.
And a paella masterclass.
This is with Romano's. A few weeks ago when I met with you, I said I loved it how people had really embraced what the season will be by the time Eat Cambridge comes around, because obviously all of these lovely hosts had to write these applications and think of these ideas in November, December, when it was not at all spring-like. So I was really glad when people like Romano's came up with this idea of this sunny evening cooking paella all together. And it's going to be taking place in a pub, which is nice. So there'll be drinks and dessert available as well
so
as the
nice,
paella.
Yeah,
and I'm sure people will be sitting out in the pub garden having drinks beforehand. But Romano's food's fantastic. So they're really going to put on a feast. They always over cater as well, this is what I've heard. So there'll be plenty for people to eat on the night and take home afterwards, I'm sure.
That's what we like.
So there's a returning event which we had a few years ago. It's with a local lady who's fascinated by food and vegetarian cooking and bringing together ingredients to make maybe unexpected combinations. Her little pop-up's called Larder Unlimited, and it's essentially three workshops that she'll be running throughout the festival. So three different dates that people can book onto. People bring along a vegetable that's perhaps flummoxed them, or that they want to incorporate into their cooking because it's seasonal or something, or they want to do a vegetarian dinner party and don't know where to start. And she's going to guide all of the guests through making a whole meal out of all these different vegetables. So basically how to make an interesting vegetarian or vegan meal, often just needing to put your heads together and come up with some different ideas rather than be stuck at home in your own kitchen. It sounds really nice.
And the return of Dr. Sue Bailey as Fanny Craddock.
So Dr. Sue Bailey, who's also been volunteering to help with the festival this year and previously, she's been an amazing help to me personally. She has the alter ego of 70s cook Fanny Craddock, who she says is arguably the first real celebrity woman chef, predating the likes of Nigella. So Sue dons her apron and her Fanny wig and does her little skits while she prepares dinner party foods, which Fanny would have been proud to present. We've got quite a large venue for that one, so people can properly get in and see what's happening. And of course, you get to taste the trifles and whatever else you'll be preparing. Her wobbly jellies, she was telling me about. And there's a few drinks included as well, so it should be a really fun night.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't covered everything, so can you come back again and we'll talk?
Yeah, of course.
We'll talk a bit more, maybe a bit more of the things that we haven't mentioned, and maybe a bit more detail about some of the ones that we have mentioned.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to.
But it's just such a fantastic festival.
Oh, thank
and
you.
This year, I'm not going on holiday,
yes.
So.
Yeah, everyone, clear your diaries for 2 whole weeks and maybe a little bit either side.
Yeah, give us the dates again, actually.
Yeah, so the main event is on Saturday, the 19th of May, and the fringe events run from the 18th of May, so the night before, to the Sunday, the 3rd of June. So 2 full weeks packed with fringe events.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Had enough chocolate yet? We're about to crack open our egg. But first, let's hear from Estefania Led Ramos of Que Rico Tapas, talking to Dr. Sue Bailey about chocolate in Spain at Easter. No eggs.
For Easter in Spain, we have traditional dessert and chocolate figures to celebrate Easter.
And are they the traditional rabbits and chickens and things like that?
We have that, but it's much more than that. We call them monas de Pascua. It can be any kind of big figure, basically. So in each patisserie, you have the windows full of almost pieces of art made with chocolate. It can be, you know, with figures for children, basically. It can be a house like in a fairy tale, or some cartoons, or trains, cars, dolls, but really beautiful, complex figures.
Well, we have a more traditionally English egg in front of us, made by Parker's Tavern. And I think we need to have a brief tasting. And I gave Matt a piece about 10 minutes ago, and he's managed not to eat it yet. So I'm very impressed. So when you...
I was looking at it the whole time.
Imagine you have a go.
Hmm.
This is made with Falrona 60% organic dark chocolate and passion fruit couverture. Actually, you haven't got any passion fruit couverture on yours, but are you enjoying it?
I really am. It's very delicate. It has a completely different texture to, say, your standard manufacturer's eggs.
Yeah. Ooh,
there's a real essence of levels to the taste as well. I can taste something like a passion fruit. It's not passion fruit, as you say, but that's gorgeous. Like cherry. Actually,
it does
quite deep cherry.
It is a very, very nice egg. Now, this is from Parker's Tavern, which of course is going to be part of the University Arms Hotel when it opens, we hope, in June. And really, if this is a sign of what they're going to, the quality that they're going to get there, book me in.
Well, we all have our different traditions for Easter food. What do they have in Spain? Here's Estefania again. And at the end, she explains how this weekend you can try some Spanish Easter food at the Cambridge Wine Merchants in Cherry Hinton Road.
In terms of sweet things, this kind of old-fashioned food that, you know, our great-grandmothers cook at home with the leftovers of the bread, soaking milk, and then you coat with milk and deep fry, and sprinkle cinnamon and sugar on top. So it's really simple, traditional thing, but it's really delicious. And normally we prepare that as a breakfast for Easter Sunday or as a pudding after lunch.
That sounds really, really nice.
It is, it is. Mm. I mean, that links the Easter time with the most traditional recipes. And now all these old recipes are coming back again in Spain and making, you know, more modern style torrijas, for example, but keeping all the tradition from, you know, centuries ago. Mm.
And what about yourself? Do you, for Querico Tapas, do you do much cooking with chocolate?
Yes, I cook with chocolate, but for savory recipes. I cook some recipes that add a little bit of chocolate at the end for some meat stews, for example. If you are cooking beef cheek or ox cheek, you sprinkle a little bit of chocolate on top, and I think that, yeah, enhance all the flavors of the meat. I cook another recipe that is really interesting, that is like, is fish with chocolate. I make a chocolate sauce, and then you have to semiti fish, like monkfish, for example.
Okay.
That's perfect for this kind of, because it's, you know, they are really tasty fish.
With a fairly strongish flavor.
Yeah, with really strong
texture.
Flavor. Mm. So, and then I cook a sauce with onion and chocolate. And it's a bit unusual, but
that's lovely.
Yeah, it's a really good match.
Mm, that sounds really, really interesting.
Yes.
Oh, well, I must come and try some of your Querico Tapas.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. You do events at Cambridge Wine Merchants.
Yes, yeah.
And you also do catering for parties.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, yeah. I work as a private chef and I cater for private or corporate events. So I go to the customers' houses and cook there and serve and clear up, and I explain as well what they are having, about the ingredients that I use, how we cook, how is the Spanish gastronomy or the culture around food in Spain. But I organize as well events at Cambridge Wine Merchant at Cherry Hinton Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every other month, for example, is a Spanish wine tasting with tapas, and we go to different through the food and the wines to different regions in Spain. And the first Sunday of each month as well, we have a Sunday lunch with tapas. That is this coming one.
Ah.
That is Easter Sunday.
Oh,
so
lovely.
If people are here on holidays, it's a different way to have lunch with your family, for example.
That was Estefania Ledramas talking to Dr. Sue Bailey, and her monthly Sunday event at Cambridge Wine Merchants is happening this very weekend and runs from 12:30 till 3:30 in the Cherry Hinton Road branch.
And now, something that's not about chocolate and not about Eat Cambridge either. It's about a pub that was closed for years, has reopened and is now a thriving hub of village life. Sue Bailey went along to the Plough in Shepworth to find out what goes on there, and she spoke with owner Nick Davis.
Cut a long story short, a developer bought an option on it and tried to turn it into residential accommodation. The village fought that application successfully. Mm. It went to several appeals and the village has still won, and tried very hard to make it into a community-owned and run pub. But again, those things are very difficult to get, and they were struggling a bit. At which point, I just sold a business and decided I might retire. did that for 2 days and didn't like it. So then decided that we might come and try and rescue the pub as well. So that's how it started.
Basically. Excellent idea. So how much of a delay was there between it being a community pub and did it close for a bit before you came in?
It was derelict, basically, when we came in. It had been closed for 5 years. So there was nothing here. Everything had been stripped out.
Right, so the community option really didn't work.
No, it didn't happen at all. So we came in and negotiated with the banks and managed to buy it and started restoring it. Not only had everything been ripped out of it, but it hadn't actually been a pub as such for over a decade because it was a restaurant and had been completely reconfigured. So, yeah, literally from reinstalling toilets to rebuilding cellars and bars and everything. Yeah, it was a fairly major project.
That's a major... And also, you've done it in a very interesting way. It's not in a sort of stylized pub way. It's quite a sort of eclectic pub style.
I mean, I might have sounded maybe a little naive earlier by saying we just thought it would be a good idea, but we did actually put a bit of science and behind it and do a bit of research. And I think the struggles that this industry is going through is very well documented. And I think the last statistics I saw was there are still 3 pubs in the UK closing every week. Mm-hmm. So, and particularly in village locations like this, it's tough times for this trade. So we didn't go into it with our eyes completely closed. But if you do some research, what you realise is that you cannot rely completely on your local community. There just isn't enough people that go to pubs regularly enough to do that. So you have to, if you're going to survive, you have to bring a lot more elements into your business. So I've got a bit of a background in music, so we do a fair bit of music and live music here. My wife is a great enthusiast, great art enthusiast, so we have art galleries upstairs and what have you. We put on lots of events, we do quite a lot of charity work. Anything really to give more people more reasons to come out, you have to.
And you do all sorts of things, like you do Vera Gin evenings and...
We're actually on our 31st monthly Vera's Gin Club. We got to know some people in the spirit industry and got interested, particularly in gin ourselves. So this is shortly after we opened, so 3 years ago. And they're very popular. Yeah, we do those once a month. We sample gins, we put some food with it, have some general larks and fun and frolics and what have you. And they've become quite a thing. So, yeah, they're very, very well supported. Yeah, we do other things. We have fairly recently we've started staging a comedy night, which... Again, it's quite a difficult thing to do, but and comedy is obviously a very kind of subjective. But they've begun to pick up quite nicely now, and they've got quite a following, which is a nice thing to do in a village. You know, I don't understand why you would need to go into a town to have a nice night out. You know, you have to drive in or go on the train or the bus or the taxi or whatever. But if you can have stuff in villages and you can do something a bit interesting, then that's got to be better than having to travel somewhere and go and find it. So, yeah, we try and do as much as we can.
And it's nice to have, events that people don't just go and drink, but they come, take their friends, have some food, have a really great evening.
It's an experience, I think. You know, it's not cheap to go out for a drink these days. It isn't. It's quite a significant purchase, really. So, I think the more you can give people a bigger experience, be it art or music or an event or some supper or whatever it is, that it becomes more of an event for people and just gives them more reason to come out.
Yeah, it's fun. And you also have a lovely garden space here as well, don't you?
The restaurant that was here before us didn't use the garden at all. So they did nothing to it. So when we moved in, the wilderness out the back hadn't been touched for over a decade. You can imagine what that was like. So we've managed to make half of it usable, and actually we've just started some work on. But no, what we've got's nice. We've built a nice terrace on the back, which is sort of an indoor-outdoor space, mainly useful in the summer, but we have our beer festival out there, and we have some musical events, and we cook out there sometimes in the summer and barbecue and whatever. So yeah, it's nice to use outdoor spaces.
And you... Apart from obviously really interesting wines, which I've seen you have, and you've got a range of different beers, and then you obviously do food here as well.
We do, yeah. It's food's a tricky thing. You have to kind of nail your colours to the mast a bit. Didn't want to be pub grub, and I didn't really want to be gastropub either. What we aim at is kind of casual dining, where it can just be very easy, and it's a bit interesting, and it's good quality, but not too pretentious and not too, you know, not trying to be something that it isn't. At the end of the day, this is a pub, not a restaurant, but it's a pub that I hope does, you know, interesting, good quality food.
I came along to a really, really interesting Cajun evening that you had. Yes. That was great fun.
No, that was fun. Yeah, that was part of... We do a series of supper clubs here as well, which we theme, and as you say, the one was Cajun food, Cajun music. We did a really nice Argentinian one towards the end of last year as well, which was good. We've done Mexican evenings and lots of tequila sampling that goes along with that. You know, I like to think we do interesting wine as well and something a bit different. And we've got to know quite a few of the producers. So we've had evenings where the wine producers will come down and share their knowledge and sample their wines and what have you, a bit of food matching. So, yeah, that's you know, the more things you can do, the more fun it is, really. We try and put, you know, some wine or some spirits with some food, with some music, and with a kind of an ambience and somebody interesting to talk to, hopefully.
Nick Davis from The Plough in Shepworth. Now, while that was going on, Matt was tasting the bit of Easter egg that had the
passion fruit
couverture.
Oh, yeah, and it was beautiful.
Well, I haven't had a bit yet, so I'm desperate for it.
I thought I had a sense of a taste in the last one, but no, it makes such a difference, as passion fruit does, of course, doesn't
it? Yes, it is. It's
just a tiny little amount can make the fireworks fly.
Mm. Right, now, on the subject of chocolate, Nestlé's have developed a new process which enables them to reduce by 30% the amount of sugar that they have in their Milky Bar brand. I don't know how many Flavour listeners are keen on Milky Bar, but should you be one of them? They're producing a thing called Milky Bar Wowsums, and this works by spraying sugar, milk and water into warm air and drying the mixture. Mm. And apparently that stabilises the spray-dried sugar and stops it becoming too sticky. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what it tastes like.
Yes.
Now, there have been a few food rumours going around, which Flavour has been endeavouring to get to the bottom of. One of them is, you know the shop Kailash on Mill Road?
Oh, yes, yes.
Very sadly, I think, is closing. Very sadly, because the owners, I think, are such nice people and they don't really want to close. And there was a rumour that Thirsty was taking it over, but there has been a more, let's say, more assertive rumour that actually it's being taken over by a Turkish food shop that is going to have its own Turkish butchery in. So that'll be interesting. There's been rumours that Shelford Deli's been looking for properties in Cambridge, so I asked them and they said they're always looking, but they haven't found anywhere. And there were rumours that have been denied by Tim Hayward that there is a third Fitzbillies opening in Newnham, but he's saying that's not happening. But we'll see. I got the feeling he would like to open somewhere.
So now we're out of the chocolate zone and we're into green onions, as you can hear, which introduces, of course, our food and drink news. And even though it's a bank holiday weekend, we will begin as usual with jobs.
Yeah, Gorilla Kitchen is looking for a chef who's fed up doing split shifts. You can contact Gorilla Kitchen via Twitter or bowl along to the trailer. And Midsummer House needs chefs. Phone Mark on Cambridge 369 306 if you're interested.
And our final job for today, the Mitre Pub in Bridge Street, is looking for a full-time chef. You can just pop in there for details.
And now some information about closures over this Easter weekend. The following are closed on both Easter Sunday and Monday. Noel Young Wines, La Latina Bustoranti, Bushel Box Farm Shop in Willingham, Bacchanalia in Mill Road, Garden Kitchen in Mill Road. However, Garden Kitchen's branches in the Botanic Garden and Kettle's Yard are open both days.
Cambridge Cookery School and Bistro is closed right across the Easter weekend. It reopens on Tuesday. And the cafe at Weising Arts Gallery is open on Sunday, but closed on Monday. And open all across the weekend is Steak and Honour at Anglesey Abbey. They are there every day from 11 till 3, or, well, until they sell out.
Slow Food Anglia is setting up a slow food group in Cambridge, and as part of this, they're having an aperitivi evening at Thursday in Chesterton Road on the 5th of April between 6 and 9. There'll be a talk at 7. If you'd like to attend, RSVP info at slowfoodanglia.org.
On the 12th of April from 7 till 9 at Thursday in Chesterton Road, there will be a tasting of German wines with food pairings. Tickets are £29 from the Eventbrite website, and the name of the event is Das Weinfest Tasting. And finally, on the 7th to the 8th of May, there is the Ely Food Festival. More about that in a future programme.
And that's all we have time for today on this Easter weekend.
And if you'd like to get in touch with any news or comments when we're off the air, you can email us flavour@cambridge105.co.uk, or you can contact us on Twitter at flavour105.
But that's all from us. We'll be back on the 14th of April. And until then, happy Easter and goodbye.
Goodbye.